listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. An action-packed, and I mean action-packed hour on Monday for you. You've heard of Christmas in July? Well, NFL in March. Nick Foles, Brown, two Browns, by the way, going to the Raiders, both getting paid big, big time. Also, though, a little NBA, Golden State, Lakers, both going in one direction. Zion talk in college basketball. We've got all the right guys for it. The pros who know, Steve Fezzik. NFL and an NBA expert, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a busy Monday here in the NFL on Straight Outta Vegas.
Jonas, I usually turn off Fez's mic. I let you have free reign.
Yeah, I can't believe John Ramos, just a giant middle finger to start the week. Unbelievable. So the big news that just broke a little while ago, we have a quarterback change. Nick Foles is headed to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The contract deal is $88 million over 4 years, $50 million of it guaranteed once this can become official coming up on Wednesday. So, RJ, what is Vegas make of the big deal for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
First, we got to make an assumption here. And this is a big assumption and probably one you're not going to hear on a lot of radio shows. Brad's looking like, what could it be? You have any idea, Brad?
How much Foles is worth? I don't know.
The assumption is we don't really understand the salary cap. We understand there's an amount of money. And there's a minimum and a max. But there's something about the min that some years you don't have to reach it. In the NBA, it's not a hard cap. Whereas you got a luxury tax or whatever they call it. But that's if it happens for 2 years or 3 years. There's all of this very complicated stuff. And one of the basic premises of Straight Outta Vegas.
Why don't you stick to what you know?
We stick to what we know. So a lot of this conversation about all of these trades, or more specifically signings in most cases, is going to be understanding. I don't know the fact that Antonio Brown had a lot of guaranteed money up front, not as much guaranteed later, and how that was one of the points of contention. And now what does that mean to the Raiders? What does that mean to the Steelers? That's a specialization. What we're going to say is, hey, how good is Nick Foles? Now, Steve, we're going to start with you. Only two-time Super Contest champion. How good is Nick Foles?
Nick Foles is your average NFL starting quarterback. RJ, right in the middle, my number 15th ranked quarterback.
So how does that fit in with the salary cap? Oh, wait, no. But what we can say, I think, fairly, is he's being paid better than average.
He is, and the reason he's being paid so much better is because Jacksonville had a desperate need at quarterback because Blake Bortles is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and the team had lost faith in him.
Agreed, and your theory last year was that the discontent with Bortles affected the defense.
Absolutely. We saw the defense basically quit on the team. And then finally, when they benched Bortles, at least initially, the defense brought it. They were so happy anyone was behind center other than Blake Bortles.
Yeah. So, again, we don't know for sure that was the case. So it sure seemed like it. We also don't know, is it Bortles' personality? Is it his play on the field?
Was it the fact that he got quite a big contract? Right now, it was a contract again, just dipping our toe in the water here. That sometimes these contracts come out with big numbers, and actually the Kaepernick contract, last one with the 49ers, was like that. The thought was, oh my God, they just made a big commitment to Kaepernick. But there's the outs. You know, it's like having a prenup. There was those outs, and the payoff's not so bad. So Bortles' contract wasn't terrible for the Jags, as far as the experts would say, assuming he would have played okay, which he didn't. But the players in the locker room are not necessarily experts at these things. Like, we're not. It just looked like a mighty big number. They know there's a finite amount to go around. If I come in with a duffel bag of money, like I tend to the first of the month, and you know it's going to be divvied up, when you see the power I pushed to Brad, you're thinking, well, that's less it can go to Fez, right? And that's the way you're thinking.
Exactly. But you know what? Brad can play, and he's deserving of that big paycheck and that big duffel bag. When I see someone who can't play and they're getting paid big, RJ, it makes for a very unhappy Fezzik.
You know what's funny about Fezzik? Whenever a compliment doesn't cost him a dollar, he's like the nicest guy in the world. But then, but when he's maneuvering behind the scenes, oh.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
Guys, the other big story in the NFL this past weekend was the trade that did finally go down. Antonio Brown goes from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Oakland Raiders in exchange for a third and a fifth round pick. And upon arriving in Oakland, Antonio Brown will get $30 million guaranteed, and he is locked up for the next 3 years as an Oakland Raider.
Yeah, so, boy, I've got like 10 different emotions on this one. So why don't we start with some research we did back when Brown was discussing leaving. Is he at the end of the road? You know, at 30, 31, does he have one good year? Do I have two good years? Pregame.com research looked at some comparables, like houses. There's a comp. And I'll tell you, it surprised me. It looks like guys like Brown, and no one seems to want to question his work ethic, so you would assume he'd play relatively young for his age. He's got three or so good years left. So let me ask the roundtable and Jonas in LA, does anyone here think that 3 years from now, so not next year, so 2019, 2021. 21's the third year. Does anyone have like a lot of skepticism about Brown in 21?
I actually do. And here's why. I went ahead and took a look. And you mentioned there's some elite NFL wide receivers that have done quite well in their early 30s. So Brown turns 31 in July. I took a look at the top wide receivers, their ages, top 10 last year. As it turns out, Antonio Brown was one of the top 10.
Now, what metric are we using?
Just yards, reception yards. He was
so
the
this
only,
is like we're back in 1978.
It is. But
we're just counting stats.
Any other metric would have been comparable. And he
How
is
do
the,
we know that?
If I went ahead and looked at like the average per catch and the like and the guys
all
who are
right,
at the top.
All right. Well, all right, I'll accept that.
All right. So there's one guy.
If it's true.
Brown is the oldest guy on the list who was in the top 10. So okay. I think that's a little disconcerting to think that, and if you look at his production, it has tailed off from MVP-type level 3 years ago to current level. We're still an elite top 10 wide receiver, but borderline top 10, and that's with Pittsburgh and Big Ben. Now he goes to Oakland. We will see, RJ.
I think we got to be careful here because, one, yardage by itself is a counting stat. Now, why do I say that derisively? Because the more times you get thrown the ball, the better you're going to do, right? Also, how has Pittsburgh, how has Big Ben changed? I mean, my eye test tells me Big Ben is not near the quarterback today that he was even two years ago. Fez?
Yeah, I can agree with that, although he's still a top five NFL quarterback.
But we're talking relative numbers, right?
Yes.
So if there's a relative drop-off in Big Ben... Also, obviously, something's going on with Brown. Now, was this all some big master plan? Machiavellian? Sun Tzu-style stuff that you might do, Fez, behind the scenes? And now he's like, success, I'm a Raider. Oh, wait. I mean, this felt like an ego-driven move by Brown. Let's get something straight. In no way am I saying ego in a negative sense. I mean, in so many ways, ego is healthy. There's the famous story of Tom Brady when literally the first time he saw Mr. Kraft, he walked up and introduced himself and said, I'm Tom Brady, and the best decision this organization ever made was drafting me. You heard that story, Brad?
I've heard that quite a few times.
And not for me.
No, never. You haven't brought it up.
I don't like to repeat myself. But, never tell you about my high school prom. But the thing is, you look at that and you say, God, big ego. But when he gets up at 4:45 in the morning, all the things that go in, no thank you for the ice cream. Do you have any, what's the famous ice cream he eats that, not soy, but yeah, whatever it is, it's not the good stuff, right? So I like that Brown as a sixth-round draft choice right now would be considered at minimum, just so we don't have to debate it, one of the 10 best receivers in history. I mean, literally since it all started, Jim Thorpe, like put Jim Thorpe in the conversation, Antonio Brown, 32 teams said, no thank you in the first, no in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and they took the guy. Now, Brad, you have all the college knowledge. Were you a big, you know, deep knowledge of Brown when he played in the MAC?
He was productive at Central Michigan. But
so you mean like Fez, you looked at his yardage and said, ah, looks all right.
He's all right, but I mean, I wasn't thinking, hey, that guy, they got a steal in the sixth round there. I wasn't thinking that, no question.
So to me, this is such a, and even saying it's ego-driven doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but I don't think it means it's good. And I also believe it says a lot about the current NFL, Brown does, and it says a lot about the current fan base in the NFL. We'll talk about that next.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we will break down some of the big moves in NFL free agency that have gone down so far.
We have fun each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 63 degrees. And the neon is coursing.
So the big move in the NFL so far through the weekend and into Monday was the Antonio Brown trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. RJ, where does Vegas stand on the move for Oakland?
Boy, I tell you. I mean, I know you probably don't want me, Jonas, to talk about personal texts between us. But you took that anti-Colin Cowherd thing to another level. I mean, and I tend to agree with you on this one. I cannot lie. Colin leads off the show being anti-Raiders. So let me just, this has not been prepared. Let me open the table to Jonas Knox, who broadcasts, I don't know, 32 hours of national radio a week, and he's at the clubs for 30 hours.
Yep.
I mean, so I don't understand the math of it all, but I mean, this guy, he knows his sports. Brad Powers, I mean, he is Brad Powers, and literally he lives in an 1,100 square foot apartment. Why? Because all he wants is that big TV set and a shower and a bedroom. When Fez, well, he's got a mansion and a yacht and a kid and all that, so he might know a little something.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
But he's moving towards retirement. But we got a good round table here. What's the anti-Raider convert? What is the anti-Raider take?
I think it's bitterness that a guy who...
You're saying Colin Cowherd's bitter?
I think there's a lot of people that are bitter about it.
And he's just in that group.
Yeah, in that group. I don't want to identify him individually, so we'll just lump them all together. I think people are bitter because it's somebody who did what you're not supposed to do. They ate junk food and they lost weight. He threw a temper tantrum. He went public.
But that's a reason to be positive or negative about Brown. I'm talking about the Raiders organization.
It's because the Raiders rewarded that type of behavior. That's what people feel about it. And so it's easier to attack everybody involved as opposed to just identifying.
But are the Raiders a better team because of this move? Can anyone make the case the Raiders should be downgraded as a team because of this move?
No.
All right. And I get broadly, again, Colin's a personal friend, Jonas, that whatever that is, it is. But I will disagree with him, right? Every week we do our podcast during football, I'll disagree often with him. This idea of, it's all in the plan. You know what one of Belichick's basic premises is? You can't plan for a lot of things that's going to happen in a football game. That's why Belichick loves multiple players, players that can line up at wide receiver and also be a great blocker. I mean, literally, read the books on Belichick. I mean, listen, if you read anything and you like the NFL, read any or as many books on Belichick as you can get.
No talent. I'm not talking about talent. I said genius. Genius.
He loves multiples. Why? Because, we have four running backs that got hurt. We could not spend the off season doing local radio shows complaining about our injury luck. Or we can bring this wide receiver over that one of the reasons we drafted him was maybe he could be a fifth running back. And I actually think the Pats did that okay this year.
Cordell Patterson returned kicks, ran the ball, caught passes. He could do it all.
It's the same thing Joe Maddon's been doing in Tampa Bay and in Chicago in baseball. Give me guys that are flexible that can play out of position whenever I need them to.
And again, I can promise you that Belichick's game plan coming in is as meticulous as anybody's. But then you got to assume, expect the unexpected, as the cliche goes. So the idea that, they traded Mac and that didn't seem like a great deal except, Mac's one of the best defensive players in the NFL. Fez, what would you say his point value is in a given game, Khalil Mack?
Yeah, it might be worth just a little more than half a point.
Okay. And what's Antonio Brown's?
Antonio Brown worth just a little over half a point, I think.
And the Raiders got what for Mack? Multiple first-round picks, and a third and a fifth they gave up for Brown. And I would make the case that even with the new details of the contract, Brown's contract is not out of line. Would anyone look at Brown's new contract and say, "Whoo, dog, overpaid"?
No.
Mac, you could almost make that case. Let's just say this. If it's pure economics, the Brown contract at minimum is equal. I think it's better than the Mac contract.
Yes, agree.
So wait a minute. This not having a plan thing, at least in that way, seems to have worked really well for the Raiders. And if Belichick had made these moves, there'd be three people with book proposals in saying, "I want to write about this offseason." Because of what Belichick was able to pull off. Now, maybe it was dumb luck. I don't know. Right? But boy, oh boy. Antonio Brown. If you're a steal, a lot of people say do what the other team doesn't want you to do. If it's fourth and one on the one, Fez, the opponent's fourth and one on your one.
Please kick the field goal.
Yeah, right? In a way. Not that that's, given decision making to your opponent. So you don't want to always do that. But tell you, I'm a Steelers fan. I'm not feeling very good. So it'd be hard to say, whoo, got rid of our hardest worker, got rid of our best receiver, and we got a third and fifth round pick. Oh, dude, this year's going to be this year. This is the year. I mean, come on. It's almost like we just closed the book on Big Ben's career.
Couldn't make the playoffs.
With him.
With him.
Well, I guess, Fez, We didn't plan it, but that's a great segue. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking about the big NFL signings. Antonio Brown leading the way. Could make the case, addition by subtraction, about how much of a distraction that Brown's been. I mean, from the time he was live streaming from the locker room, it seems like a lot of time's being spent about him, not as a football player, Brown, but as something else. How confident are we? And I think this is something we can just accept. We don't know either. Is this about the Steelers or is this about Brown? Now, the history would tell you it's about Brown because Pittsburgh is a successful, consistent organization, one of the most so in the NFL. But now you got Le'Veon Bell. Now you got the Rooneys running things. That's a dynasty. Could it be the millennial 20-somethings of today don't respond to the way the Steelers run? I mean, what's the last team that lost a top five wide receiver in the NFL, you know, currently, and a top five running back in the same season?
No.
Not that I know of.
The last time we had that on the same team was probably the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Early to mid-90s.
And what was that scenario exactly?
No, I mean, I'm talking the last
even having a top five.
Yeah.
So somehow, some way, you couldn't make one of them happy? So to me, and it could be they're doing the exact same thing. Right? If you check out that, meaning that the Steelers are doing the same thing that made them the worst franchise in history. I'm getting to be the age now in my mid-40s that a lot of people forget this. In 1969, when Chuck Noll was hired, the Steelers were considered the worst organization in the history of the NFL. They had never won a championship. And if I recall, we'll check this during the break, Mackie, I don't think they ever made the playoffs. Now, you know, it was back in the day where there'd only be like a championship game or whatever. But literally, when the Steelers made the playoffs for the first time in 72, let's bring the Raiders down a little bit, the Raiders fans, and the Immaculate Reception happened. And oh, by the way, if you want to know how big football is in Pittsburgh, there's only one statue. You know about this, Jonas?
I've seen it many times.
One statue at the Pittsburgh airport, and it's Franco picking the ball up right before it hits the ground.
And it's right in your face when you get down the escalator. You can't.
Yeah, you can't get the baggage claim without it. So, I mean, literally, this was the worst franchise when Art Rooney was chomping on cigars and betting at the track. But somehow, some way, this was almost reversed. Usually the next generation doesn't learn the tough lessons of the rich parents because the parents were born poor. But the Rooneys have done it. I mean, Art Rooney's been, I think he passed away in the, not even before, I think before 1980, but it was certainly in that range. So it's been decades and decades and decades that the next generation of the Rooneys have run things. And they've been the second most successful franchise, you could make the case, since 1980. Even putting some of those Super Bowls behind them, they're right in the conversation, the Steelers. So are they changing or are the players changing? What do you think, Brad? You're the closest.
I think it's more the players changing. I haven't seen too much difference from the Steelers. You know, you don't see any difference because they're the consummate about having stability. They've only had three different head coaches since 1969.
That is amazing.
You know, one thing you said, RJ, and I agree with it, that the Steelers have been consistently good. But what's maddening is that for a team that's consistently good, they're the most inconsistent team during the course of a year where they can have great games and just horrible games against bad teams.
Well, Fez, this is the classic line. And, you know, obviously with all the problems, the Catholic Church, there's a lot of ambivalence out there about it. But in one of the movies about the controversy and the different things, it said the Catholic Church thinks in centuries. Like, they don't make decisions for this month, this year. Now, again, they've made some pretty bad decisions. So let's set that aside. But the concept, the Steelers think in decades, right? And maybe that's what this is. Maybe this is just like we say that when the Patriots last Friday, what point did we make? They got the trade with a player who a little disgruntled, maybe wants another contract from the Eagles. And then it was like, well, maybe it's the history of the Pats and the Belichick of no BS that will make this player think, okay, I'm not going to be able to pull any BS. And maybe that's what this is. Maybe that the Rooneys are saying, well, look, we're all in our 70s or whatever anyway, so it's not, they're still billionaires, but we're going to keep our way till the end. And maybe that helps at some future point where someone's thinking of holding out and they're saying, well, that Le'Veon Bell thing isn't going to work. Because whatever happens with Le'Veon Bell, he will have less money at the end than he would have if he had just signed the tender. So Brown may be making more money, but to me, the Steelers, we could talk about the Rooneys we have, and we also can talk about Mike Tomlin. That seems to be a topic some people embrace, some don't. I'm going to be pretty harsh about Mike Tomlin in just a minute.
Also, we want to let you guys know that Trent Brown is now a member of the Oakland Raiders as well, too, RJ. Trent Brown, a tackle, leaves the Patriots, a 4-year, $66 million contract, almost $37 million in guarantees, according to Adam Schefter. So two Browns in Oakland for the Raiders.
You know, Jonas is like producing the show live, so I do the tease to go to the news, and he decides, you know something? It's not time for the news yet. I'm going to give you a little personal news. All right, so let's keep... Hey, Jonas is in control, it seems, today. So let's say this. I have no idea what to think about Trent Brown. It seems to me, quite frankly, it goes against one of my premises. And I can't lie. We took a lot of bows. I probably took a few more than others. About the theory that the Raiders being so cash poor, before they got to Vegas, that a lot of the moves were driven by that. Now, the Antonio Brown fits right in. The Steelers are on the hook for, again, I don't understand every nuance of the deal, but the Steelers are on the hook. You know, Bill Barnwell had a good column on ESPN that really broke this down. This year isn't costing the Raiders much, all right? But to overpay by most accounts for a tackle doesn't help you on the PR side, doesn't help you on the cash side.
And it's another sign. Bill Belichick and the Patriots didn't want this guy, didn't see value in him. I got to question it, especially when you got recent examples, Nate Solder, Malcolm Butler, Danny Amendola, all those guys said Patriots said no thank you. How did those guys do the year after the Patriots said no mas?
That's a good point. You know, it's almost like the Billy Bean phenomenon is the idea that if Billy Bean wants to trade for him, you're missing something, right? If Belichick doesn't want to sign him, maybe you're missing something. Also, it was brought up, and Jonas won't like this, but Colin said it today, is the O-line coach for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best, if not the best, position coach. Starnecchia, is that how you say it?
Yep, Dante Scarnecchia.
And it's one of those things that sometimes it's about coaching. You know, I'll make a prediction about the Steelers right now. Is the Steelers' O-line won't play as well because they lost a great O-line coach this offseason. So, Jonas, I'm thinking of going to the news.
Yes.
But I'm going to play a little something just to make sure you understand that's what I want to do.
Okay, gotcha.
Time for the news.
All right, yeah, it's time for the news, and for that, we go to Dan Beyer for the latest around the world of sports.
Bunch of stuff going on. Jacksonville Jaguars signing quarterback Nick Foles to a 4-year, $88 million contract with a reported $50 million guaranteed. Former Ravens outside linebacker Terrell Suggs leaving Baltimore. Yes, former Ravens outside linebacker Terrell Suggs Got to get used to saying that. Heading to the Arizona Cardinals, according to the NFL Network. Free agent safety Landon Collins with the big deal of the day, a six-year deal worth $84 million, with the Redskins paying him $45 million guaranteed to come to D.C. The San Francisco 49ers and linebacker Quan Alexander have agreed on a four-year deal worth $54 million. Lions agreed to terms on a five-year contract with defensive end Trey Flowers and also signed cornerback Justin Coleman and tight end Jesse James and wide receiver Danny Amendola. DeSean Jackson heading back to Philadelphia. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers trading the wide receiver to Philly as the teams will also swap late-round draft picks. Philadelphia today signed defensive lineman Malik Jackson and also re-upped with left tackle Jason Peters on a one-year deal. Veteran running back Frank Gore signed a one-year deal with the Bills. Titans re-upped with safety Kenny Vaccaro and also signed former Buccaneers wide receiver Adam Humphries. A couple of other notes outside the NFL. Duke's Marcus Bolden has been ruled out of this week's ACC tournament because of a knee injury. Adam Jones and the Diamondbacks finalizing their deal in Major League Baseball. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. We are straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Monday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of You, the Fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, maybe we were wrong about the Steelers because they did make the playoffs one time in 1947. So maybe it wasn't quite as bad as we thought. But this team, run by the old man, as they called him, Rooney, did not do very well for a long time until they hired Chuck Knoll. First draft choice, Mean Joe Green out of North Texas State. And the Pittsburgh Post headline said, Joe who? So, that would be a fun... There's that website or Twitter account, Old Takes Exposed or something, where they track everything. And then, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a book? Or maybe that's kind of goofy, a website these days. People don't really buy as many books. That had the exact reprint of some of the crazy pivot points in sport. Like, remember when Tom Brady went in? It was the second game of the year. And Belichick was under 500 at the Patriots at that point. Bledsoe gets hurt, and here comes the sixth round pick, Brady, 199, right? Okay, Brady. Like, imagine what editorials were written that week that Bledsoe was out for the season, right? And it probably would be somewhat instructive for your own life, our own lives, because there are going to be ebbs and flows no matter what. All right, so we've talked about Brown. The only Trent Brown thing I want to put out there is I don't understand the contract terms. I'm making a prediction out of nowhere. We will research and talk about it tomorrow a little bit. I'm betting there's not a lot of front money in this deal because the Raiders are going to be cash rich once they get to Vegas. So that whole kind of hamburger today, pay you Wednesday deal, I think that I'm going to guess that's the case there. And there was a couple more of these signings, I think, worth a mention.
Yeah, a major signing in D.C., and we'll get to that here momentarily. I want to let you know we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Former Pro Bowl safety from the Giants, Landon Collins, is now a member of the Washington Redskins. 6 years, $84 million, $45 million of that guaranteed once it can become official this week.
One thought on this one. Friend of the show, Mike Lombardi, knows football. His point was the safety position in the modern NFL is not as valuable as it used to be. And it's interesting over the course of the years and the decades how tight ends are important and they're not. You know, quarterback, you might say it's always been important, but would you rather have had the best quarterback in the NFL in 1975 or Walter Payton? Not sure I wouldn't have rather had Old Sweetness. So things ebb and flow. The safety position is heading down in importance. Thus, to pay that much even for a good safety, That's one I think there's a question mark by.
DeSean Jackson is headed back to Philadelphia as he was acquired by the Eagles from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now DeSean back with the Eagles. They also reworked his contract, and he is expected to get $27 million over 3 years. And according to a source, he'll get $13 million guaranteed.
Yeah, and I figure he'll be happy 13 days or so.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's just certain people that aren't happy. All right. But that said, I've got some optimism for this deal because this feels like redemption. Sort of like, you know, Rocky V, one of the, you know, by far, by all accounts, the worst Rocky movie ever. Well, Fez, you liked it, right?
Oh,
I was wrong.
How can you be wrong about an opinion of a movie?
The more I thought about it.
You like Rocky V.
I like the street fight. That was about it.
But when it came time for Rocky VI, it was everyone but Fezzik felt like it was time for redemption. Fezzik saying, more of the same, please. If only he wore that turtleneck in Rocky VI again. But I think that Jackson is the type of guy that's going to want to prove it was Chip Kelly. It was the, you know, organization that's changed a lot. And not him. So as long as he stays happy, I think Jackson obviously is a serious wide receiver talent. When we come back, we're going to talk about the games that really matter tonight, give you the Vegas perspective, and a little talk about a historic loss by Golden State.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up and tipping off in 10 minutes from now here on, it's a doubleheader in ESPN. It is the SoCon tourney, number 20 Wofford and UNC Greensboro. And right now, Wofford, a 7.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
And we make a commitment every last segment of the 6 o'clock Eastern hour, we will give you the TV games. But we never say how long we're going to talk about them. Brad, you have 30 seconds on this game.
Yeah, I lean Wofford minus the 7.5. An overrated factor for this week, you're going to hear this a lot, conference tournament week. It's tough to beat a team three times in one season. Actually, it's not. Last 10 years, the team that won the previous two games in the season has gone on to win the third game 72% of the time.
All right, slow down. So 10 years, counting this year.
Yep.
Team plays once, they win. Team plays a second time, same team wins. Third time, that team wins straight up?
Straight up 72% of the time. What's it's the, about 50-58.
All right.
Yes.
So what we're saying is by saying 50-50, we're saying it's not a factor.
It's not a factor. And the reality is Wofford crushed this Greensboro team by 30 points each of the previous two meetings. Wofford's legit. I have Wofford power rate as a top 25 team. Lean Wofford tonight, minus 7.5.
I tell you, though, if you win twice and you win big, that and now you're a biggish favorite. Ugh.
7.5?
I hear you're a good point. If it was 14,
yeah,
I think it might be flat. Lean
Wofford.
The back end of that doubleheader on ESPN. We go to your neck of the woods, the Orleans to be specific. It is Pepperdine and Gonzaga. Number one Gonzaga right now on pregame.com, a 23.5-point favorite.
Jonas, are you asking me for a review of the Orleans buffet or the game?
I've been to the Orleans before. I don't remember much of it. I just remember low ceilings.
They do have a very cool bowling alley on the second floor. Brad.
Lean Gonzaga for me, minus 23.5. It's the fourth game in 5 days for Pepperdine, and they're a below average team as far as, you know, how deep are they as far as their bench goes. Gonzaga, on the other hand, hasn't played in a week. So big time rest advantage for Gonzaga. Ooh. I don't like laying 23.5 too much, but the reality is Gonzaga's been covering left and right, laying 20 or more this year. They're 11-6 against the number. Just a lean on Gonzaga, minus 23.5.
And to me, the extra rest means if it ends up being 15-18 with 10 minutes left, boy, Gonzaga's opponents, it's going to be hard to keep playing hard.
Exactly. I really expect Gonzaga to extend margin in the second half with Pepperdine obviously tired.
We have an interesting storyline in the NBA coming up here, but first, I want to let you know we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. The Golden State Warriors are 4-6 in their last 10. They lose last night to the Suns, 115-111 at home.
Sometimes the numbers tell the whole story. You don't need to editorialize. 16-point or bigger favorites in the NBA the last 10 seasons?
Nope, since 1995.
Oh, so since 1995, thank you. Their record, 262-5. So Golden State was one of the five, right?
Yep.
So entering that game, 262-4. So we can say Golden State ebbs and flows, motivational issues.
Golden State is coasting. They need to have something to get them up for a game. So they crushed Denver Friday night because Denver's a really good team. And now they go back to the, let's just get through the regular season mode. Sleptwalked in the game against Phoenix.
Real quick, 10 seconds each. Zion, we've got a gigantic bet. I'm looking smarter and smarter. Let's be honest about it. I said no Zion. Brad, what is your current odds Zion plays another college basketball game?
50-50.
So you haven't went down at all since Friday.
I got to believe Coach K. Expect Zion back Thursday.
I don't believe Coach K. 45%.
Just a smidge below. I'm getting 4-1, guys. That's why I'm me. Chevy Chase. No. Jonas, what's your number real quick?
I'll stick with Brad, 50-50.
I like it, 4-1.
Guys, the Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and always on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.